broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Kind of a cloudy, windy, not real cold, but dreary day here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We thank you for joining us, and today we have a special day. I've got a couple of very interesting people that you're going to like to hear about. We're going to be honoring our veterans today and talking about services and things that are available to a lot of our veterans. And in our second half hour, we'll be talking a little bit with Chris Sweeten. He is the owner of 3D Security in Albuquerque. They do a lot of work with veterans, hiring them. But in our first half hour, we're going to be talking about talking with Master Sergeant retired Bobby S. Ehrig. He is the CEO of New Mexico Veterans Integration Centers. Bobby, welcome into ABQ Connect. How are you today?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me on, sir.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you about this. Every day on the show, I learn something new about things going on in our communities. And first of all, sir, I understand that you retired from the Army after 17 years. You sustained some injuries. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing now for our veterans. And I really want to get right into it. Tell us about the Veterans Integration Centers and what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you very much for the comments as well. So the VIC, as we call it, the Veterans Integration Center, has been in operation since 2005. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We were actually one of the first veteran nonprofits opened in the state of New Mexico. And then our primary mission is to help homeless and at-risk homeless veterans and their families address the problem, as well as get on the road to recovery to permanent housing. We help about 1,100 needy veteran and non-veteran families each year with our multiple programs, and then approximately 400 to 500 veteran families with housing options each year.
Bobby, I appreciate all that you're saying. You're kind of cutting out a little bit. And like all of our guests, you are really accommodating us because of the COVID-19 virus. We're all doing phone interviews now instead of having you live in the radio like we'd love to do. Are you on speakerphone now or speaking directly into the microphone?
Tell me if this sounds any better.
That sounds 100% better.
Okay,
you
awesome.
Were kind of cutting out, and I apologize. I'd really love for you to go back over what the Veterans Integration Centers do. You have several of them throughout New Mexico, and you yourself retired after 17 years, a veteran, and you had some serious injuries, as I was reading in your bio, so I know you understand the plight of a lot of our disabled American veterans, and that sounds like why you're running the Veterans Integration Centers.
Thank you very much for those comments. I did have 17 years of military service. I was injured in Iraq in 2006, so my career was ended abruptly. But it is one of the reasons that I continue to serve, with the VIC and the other programs I've run throughout the country. Mm-hmm. As a nonprofit, too, it's important because the VIC is basically one of the first veteran nonprofits started in the state of New Mexico in 2005. Mm-hmm. As a 501c3, our mission is to help homeless and at-risk homeless veterans and their family members with the homeless crisis. We help over 1,100 needy veteran and non-veteran families each year with our different programs. And we are able to help house between 400 and 500 veteran families.
Wow.
The one thing that's very important is that the VIC, although we are located in Albuquerque, we have services throughout the entire state, mm-hmm. which we try and let folks know about. And we try not to reinvent the wheel. So when we do develop new programs, we want to complement what's already being offered out there. There's so many people trying to help those in need. And we at the VIC believe that we want to help everybody give a hand up, not a hand out. So if we can also assist other service providers that are helping veterans, some of our programs also do that in the same way.
Tell us about the services you provide. I understand there's housing, clothing, food, transportation, education. It's a full gamut to try to kind of transition people from difficult times into being productive.
Yes, sir. So we do provide a multiple array of services. Our primary focus is obviously ending veteran homelessness for the over 1,000 veteran families each year. You know, in the most recent year, HUD reported that about 16.4% of the veterans living in New Mexico are either living in homelessness or facing homelessness.
Wow.
So we try and address those with multiple housing options. The first is emergency housing, which many folks don't know that we have, but we can offer immediate housing for those that are literally homeless for 7 to 10 days. And what we want to do is make sure that they are able to get off the streets, get out of the shelters, and have a safe, secure place where they can begin their transition.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is our transitional housing model, which is from 90 days up to 1 year. And this is kind of how the VIC was started. It was started with 15 single male veterans needing immediate housing options. And we've expanded that to include veteran families of up to four, even with service animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that transitional housing is offered here in Albuquerque. But what we always tell everybody is, if there is a veteran in need, we are willing to go pick that veteran up anywhere in the state as long as they're willing to work on their recovery process. The last part of the housing is probably one of the most important, rapid rehousing, and that's where you're moving folks into permanent places of living, usually an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That transition could be up to 9 months. So if you look at our three major pillars of homeless housing service, we could actually provide assistance to a veteran for up to a year and a half, a year and 9 months, depending on the situation. Each veteran is different, so we don't have a specific hard date for each veteran's current situation. And those are our big housing options. We also have a large donations program. And what we do is we created the program so that we could do what we call turning a house into a home. You know, taking somebody off the streets or from homelessness and putting them into an apartment doesn't necessarily solve a problem. It solves an immediate problem, but you have to address all the other things that go with it. And our donation program allows us to furnish every veteran family's apartment when they're moving into their permanent housing option.
Mm.
This includes the furniture that they're going to sit on, TVs if we have them available, beds, household items, linens. Also food, and we also offer moving assistance. The one good thing about that program is that 90% of the donations that we receive from the community go directly back to the veteran clients that we serve. So we're all about keeping costs down, and we want to make sure, though, that the veteran doesn't incur additional stressors of moving into permanent housing. And I'm sure you can attest, you know, when you moved out of your home and into your first apartment, how expensive it was just to get things that you needed for everyday living.
Oh, very expensive.
So we try and use our donation program to help alleviate that stress.
Well, Bobby, let's address, I want to address a quick question though. You mentioned your donation program, and I need you mm-hmm. to call our listeners to action. How can they help you with your donation program?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I mean, it's 100% donations from the community and businesses and supporters. You know, we have multiple ways to do that. You can do the simple donation. You can go to our website at www.nmvic.org. We have links to PayPal and other services. You can do old-fashioned check to our mailing address, which is also on there, or you can donate things like small appliances, slightly used furniture, you know, something that you would maybe give to somebody who's just starting out their life and living on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we take all those items at our central office. The other things that we always are looking for donation-wise are things like canned goods, because we do have a food pantry and we're trying to provide food to every one of our veteran clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this difficult time, hand sanitizer and those types of items.
Sure. Well, let's talk now about how the pandemic is affecting folks that you're trying to work with. A lot of us, you know, are kind of blind to people that are on the street and people that are homeless. And we need to open our eyes. And not only are they trying to survive, but now they're trying to avoid COVID-19 just as most of our population is. How is that affecting you guys?
Yeah, I think the one thing that's very interesting in New Mexico is people don't realize how many organizations, social service, are considered essential personnel. I know that's been thrown out there a lot, and you know, everybody from the governor on down are trying to decide who is essential. But for the most part, homeless service providers are continuing to operate at 100%. For us, It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You know, the pandemic doesn't discriminate between a homeless person and a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, take additional precautions on supporting each of our staff members, their family members, as well as clients still continuing to come in for services. You know, we've taken some additional precautions, you know, things like cleaning our offices multiple times a day. Also, doing social distancing for clients coming to the office to make sure, you know, that they're practicing those things, as well as for our clients that are in our transitional housing program, of ensuring they're educated, aware, and being able to address the stressors that also come along with dealing with this pandemic as a larger organization.
Bobby, do you find that veterans are a little bit resistant to asking for help?
So I come from basically the current generation of veterans. I think we've done a really good job at being able to reach out more often. But for the most part, the majority of veterans from any era have a very difficult time reaching out for a variety of reasons. Some feel that they're too proud to ask for help. Others may feel that they were slighted by the community and how they were treated as a veteran if they, you know, as an example, the Vietnam generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are just some that don't even realize there are still services focused out there for them and their service. But in the most part, you know, sometimes it even takes us and 90% of our company, our veterans or family members themselves, it could take us multiple times to engage a veteran before they actually will accept assistance from our programs.
Mm-hmm. So you actually establish relationships with them, and that's kind of ongoing, and you're approaching them consistently. I'm sure you're doing that with kindness, and you're not manipulating people or anything, but you're just making yourself available and your services available, and then at some point, folks take advantage of them.
Yes, sir. I mean, there's veterans I've known. I've been in this business about 12 years now after getting out of the military, in Texas, New Mexico, and different states. There are veterans that have taken a year to decide to accept our help. The one thing we do very well is establish relationships with veterans and their family members because we kind of speak the same language, no matter which staff member it is. Aside from their training, because they have backgrounds of either military service or family members that have served, they understand the dynamics of being able to communicate with them effectively. I kind of compare it to if you're trying to talk to your grandfather who tells you, you know, back in the day I was able to do this or that, and that comparison of understanding that, you know, it's just a unique way of communicating with somebody who's in a different population.
Gotcha. Well, I can tell you, I'm dealing with two elderly parents who won't let me take care of them at all, and so I understand that whole dynamic there. I mean, you know, we're all independent people, and you get to be a certain age, and you feel like you should maintain that independence. The thing that I've really tried to stress, especially with my parents, is that I'm not going out of my way. I'm not helping them. I just love them. I'm available to them. And that sounds, Bobby, that that's really kind of the commitment that you have with a lot of these veterans. These are people, these are your comrades, these are people that have defended our country. You honor them and you care for them, and I really admire that. Appreciate your service doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the one thing that we do in particular is we are non-judgmental. So if a veteran is eligible for our services and willing to accept them, we no longer talk about their military service. We no longer, you know, have discussions about, you know, where they serve, things like that, unless that comes up in conversation. So everybody, you know, is considered a veteran, no matter if they served one day or 10 years in our programs.
Gotcha. Well, when we come back, we have to take a short break, say thanks to our sponsors. We're going to come back in a couple minutes and talk to you about who is eligible and how people come to you. And again, give out your email address and web address and all of that. So we'll be right back with Bobby Erig right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be a locally owned and operated mortgage company right here in New Mexico. Being local carries many positives for consumers, such as being able to meet face-to-face. You will receive quick response times, and all loans are processed here locally. And you will always talk with the same people from application to funding. All of our employees live here, and all profits from loan origination stay right here in New Mexico. Indigo Mortgage believes in supporting our local economy, and if at all possible, we use local vendors for supplies and technical support. I personally hire and vet all loan officers, and I assure you that your loans will be dealt with both ethically and with knowledge. Indigo Mortgage can offer the best rates and terms available on the market, so contact us today. On the net at indigomortgage.net or by calling 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Master Sergeant retired Bobby S. Eric on the phone with us this afternoon here on ABQ Connect. Bobby retired from the Army after 17 years. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the New Mexico Veterans Integration Centers. Bobby, you have centers throughout New Mexico. Why don't you give us an idea about those locations? You have a couple in Albuquerque. Where else are they?
So we have a very unique model that kind of mirrors the military. Our headquarters and major services are located in Albuquerque. And what we do is we deploy persons from our offices to work remotely throughout the state. Wow. So, for example, we also have somebody who lives in Alamogordo and covers the southern one-third of the state of New Mexico. And then for the other communities throughout the state, we will send people there to work regularly throughout the month. You know, whether it's Farmington, Gallup, Grants, anywhere else that a veteran may need our services or want to connect. So we try and remove the barrier of having brick-and-mortar offices in every place because, again, for us, we don't want to waste the money on that overhead, and we'd rather spend it on our veteran clients.
Wow, great model. How do you determine whether someone is eligible to receive your services? I mean, we have, unfortunately, a lot of homeless people, and your folks are out on the street approaching people and talking with them. How does that process work?
So I guess for us, it's a unique way of communication because we're able to ask several questions that will tell us if somebody may be eligible, even if they don't have their discharge paperwork. But for generally speaking, it's any veteran who served in any branch of the military in any status, including the National Guard and Reserves, except those with a dishonorable discharge. We also, in some of our programs, can help widows of veterans who have served honorably, which is a new program that started in the last year. And then basically they have to live in New Mexico. You know, if they're homeless or what we call at risk of homelessness, which means maybe they're staying with a friend temporarily on their couch, or of low income or facing eviction, they would be eligible for our services. what we try and tell folks is that because we cannot physically connect with every single veteran in the state, is if you run into somebody and you find out they've served in the military or in hard times, give us a call, and we can kind of do a quick one-minute thing over the phone to determine if we might be able to provide services to them.
Great. And, Bobby, is that phone number 505-296-0800? Is that the number to call?
Yes, 505-296-0800, and we do answer all of our voicemails and things on off hours or weekends.
Tell me about the people that volunteer for your program. I'm sure it takes a lot of time to organize the food pantry and to meet with people on the street and to handle all of the services that you provide.
Yeah, so we have hundreds of volunteers that help us throughout the year. We're a small company. We only have about 30 employees. But we do a lot of outreach, engagement, and connectivity to the communities throughout New Mexico. One of the largest volunteer efforts that we do is our homeless stand down, located in Albuquerque. That literally has about 150 to 175 volunteers for one single day event to try and address the homeless problem as well as connect with new veterans. But what we rely upon is people who become our extension of outreach. Those who, you know, maybe run into somebody they find out is a veteran or a neighbor, and find out they might be getting evicted, or somebody who's literally homeless, they meet somewhere, giving them a cup of coffee, and they find out they might be a veteran, and to ask that they give us a call, and we will try and help, you know, immediately on the spot to figure out if there's something we can do. With our food pantry, we have regular volunteers that come there, and they work daily sorting foods and inspecting what we get in, as well as on our food pantry days, which are Mondays and Fridays, and we help about 1,100 needy veteran and non-veteran families there. So it takes a lot of work and effort, you know, to get those resources together, but also then to distribute them.
Mm, absolutely. Are you having trouble during this pandemic with all of the hoarding that the general population is doing, obtaining canned goods and things right now?
So our food distribution, the actual donations are a little low. We get a majority of our food resources from the Roadrunner Food Bank in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And then we do get some from other local donors, like a local Sprouts and other things. But I guess for what we do, we're doing okay. We could always use more because the need is always high. You know, even as an example, with 26% of Albuquerque being impoverished and food insecure, we always have a constant line for need. So we always are definitely accepting canned food donations and things like that.
I absolutely have to get somebody on this program from Roadrunner Food Bank. They come up all the time. They're doing amazing work. Sounds like they're a good partner for you as well, Bobby.
Yeah, they are awesome folks. You know, from the driver to the people that work in the warehouse to the administrative support staff. I mean, we couldn't do the amount of work that we do without them because, you know, aside from the housing services that we provide, you know, food insecurity is the largest problem. You know, we can provide, you know, the array of wraparound services from our case management support to our clothing and things. But if we can't get the food, it doesn't matter what we're able to do.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Bobby, share with us a story about someone that has worked through the VIC. That is, again, the Veterans Integration Center, that you've helped through a tough situation. Can you share a couple stories with us?
Sure. One of our programs that we do internally is called Operation War Recovery. It's based on a peer support model, which is being used a lot in mental health and crisis teams throughout the country. It was created based on the battle buddy system in the military of people helping each other. We try and run monthly peer support outings where we go to state parks and things and do some recreational activities. And, you know, normally at the end of each day, we do a little campfire talk. And last year we had a veteran who had only been in our program, I believe, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because he really didn't talk to anybody. And we started the campfire talk, and we, you know, we had a general discussion. And he kind of started talking. And the one thing he said was, I wanted to thank you guys here for saving my life. And, again, it's interesting how people define saving my life. Mm-hmm. But in his case, I believe we actually did, because he said just 2 days before the outing, he thought about committing suicide. Mm-hmm. He felt like he had nothing left in his life, no support. He was at his end of his rope. But he did tell us that that peer support outing and the camaraderie that he got from the staff at the VIC gave him hope. So he wanted us to know that and to thank us for that. And I think that's just kind of a testament to the work that the staff do to not only provide service, but actually connect with the veterans that we support.
You bet. Well, Bobby, I want you to know how you came to us, or how it was recommended that we have you on the program. We had a young man, I won't name him, but he is a veteran, and went through your services at the VIC. And I actually met him down at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, where he was doing some volunteer work after having gone through your program. And I really, he's an amazing young man. I met him when we were down there doing some fundraising things with the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. He's out now. Not only has he recovered, but he's also providing service and loving people. And he's a Christian man that's just caring for people now. And that's really an amazing thing to know that your program was part of encouraging him.
Yeah, that's awesome. The one thing that we do that's unique for our transitional housing program is that we require volunteerism. Mm. And the reason that we do that is specifically because we want veterans to be known as good, productive members of community. You know, as part of their, I guess, therapeutic process, mm-hmm. the volunteerism is not required at a certain location. We encourage people to find something they like or believe in. And I'm very glad that, you know, in one situation that he was able to reach out and it impacted his life enough for him to say something positive.
Well, we really appreciate you spending the time, and we're looking forward, if you're willing, to come back on the show in the coming weeks. And we'll want to get some updates from you as to how the virus is affecting veterans that you're working with and how we're all coming out of this together, because it is a fight we're all in together. So, again, Bobby, thank you for your service to our country and to our community now with the Veterans Integration Centers, and we'll hope to have you back again on ABQ Connect.
Thank you. I'd be glad to do it, sir.